We're going to change our frame of mind totally. In Parshas Tazria, the first mitzvah of which is Mitzvah Kuf Samech Vav, the 166th mitzvah, Mitzvah Inyan Tumas Yoledes, the ritual of impurity of a woman who has just given birth. L'tame HaYoledes, to consider a woman who has given birth ritually impure. Kilomar Haisha Kishetelet Shetia Temeya Labaila, once a woman has given birth, she becomes usher to her husband, just like the normal framework of Anita. B'chol shekein l'tairos, and all the more so, of course, you should be considered ritually impure when it comes to touching holy foodstuffs and rendering them ritually impure. So, two dinim. She's not allowed to be with her husband, and she's not allowed to touch, and if she touches foodstuffs and or other things, anything, then they become tummy. So, shiva yamim kishetelet zachar, this goes for 7 days when she gives birth to a male child. Ushvuayim kishetelet nekeva, in 2 weeks when she gives birth to a female child. Shenemar isha kisazria v'yalda zachar v'tama shivas yamim. So, a woman, once she bears seed and gives birth, then she shall be impure for 7 days. V'im nekeva selei v'tama shvayim. Again, if she gives birth to a female, then she's impure for 2 weeks.
Quick question?
Yeah.
Woman gives birth, obviously, there's blood that comes, from her. This is entirely separate from a normal issue of, it's known not to be menstrual blood, obviously.
Right, but we'll discuss that in a second. The chinuch will get that. Mishor Shea Mitzvah, the reasoning behind the mitzvah is as follows. Hakdama. I'm going to give an introduction to my reasoning behind the mitzvah. Ein safek, there's no doubt whatsoever, which is not beer. This idea of no doubt regarding this topic will be debated by our contemporary ideas about science. Ki cholei b'nei adam yavo o mipnei mosar shebaguf o mipnei chisaron. How is disease caused? Either there's something too much in the body or too little. O mitzad hefzed shekabal meizo siba shetia. Or because of some lack that their body receives for some reason. That when the nature is whole and nothing is going wrong, so a person is not going to get sick. So people, if they miss the mark, they sin, something like that, then if something too much in their body or too little in their body, then they are going to get sick. So God, in His infinite mercy, He took us far away from all the things that could cause problems to the body. That the body is the vessel for the soul, and the soul is this part of a person that knows God. So it's connected to God. So the body, it doesn't have special significance unto its own, but being the vessel of the soul, it is significant. So for this reason, God made us distance ourselves from a woman who's just given birth, or a woman who's menstruating, or a woman who has an extra menstrual discharge, not an extra menses, but just out of the normal realm of the menstrual cycle. So for a certain number of days, ad shiyisnaku meoso hamosar shebehen shudava ra'u machli. So basically, the idea is she has too much blood in her body, or she's got, when she's pregnant and she's getting rid of it, she has extra stuff in her body. So when she's getting, obviously, these are all natural processes, except maybe the zava, which is maybe really an illness, but when she's getting rid of this extra stuff in her body, so that causes her to be not at her full health level. And so intimate contact with her can cause problems for the man as well, because she gives off bad vibes at this time. Moshe Amarnu, ki kol mosar mishorish machalhu. Anything extra is sickness. This is why when a woman has these discharges, then she doesn't feel so good. When she has her period, she has headaches or cramps, or that she feels that her body is heavy, it doesn't perform in a normal way. So this is not a normal full health type of thing, so you shouldn't get too close to her. V'choshiken betashmish utachlis akir v'achomris. So you shouldn't get close to her even just, you know, by touching or anything like that. So certainly having relations with her, which is the ultimate level of human contact, that is certainly not good with a woman when she's at one of these stages of her life. V'gam havlad hanotzar be'od she'oso hamosar misgaber aleihem me'utad l'chaloyim rayim. So another reason is that God wanted us not to have relations during this time is because it's a bad time for conception. And now, of course, we know that when a woman has her period or has just given birth, she can generally not become pregnant. So that should not really be a concern. But in any case, all these things are not necessarily in line with contemporary understanding, so this is part of where we should maybe update the Sefer HaChinuch a little and come up with our own Shor Sheh Mitzvah, yeah?
Yeah, Art Scroll comments, he relies on the medical knowledge of earlier times.
Oh, even Art Scroll agrees that the sages relied on medical knowledge.
Obviously.
So for this reason, he's going to explain why the woman is tamei longer when she gives birth to a female than when she gives birth to a male. So she's tamei 7 days for a female, and she's tamei 14 days, exactly double, when she gives birth to a female. That the extra stuff in the body of a woman who gives birth to a girl is more than if she gives birth to a boy. So when a woman gets pregnant with a male, so this indicates that she is at a higher level of heat, whatever that means. The Gemara tells us that since the Torah says, Isha ki sazria v'yaldach zachar, when a woman bears seed and gives birth to a male. So the Gemara derives from this that Isha mazras tchila yoled zachar. That there are different interpretations of this in terms of, I believe the Art Scroll Gemara Anid over there says something like that they used to believe that the woman actually emitted seed during relations. And that's what caused the... But I believe that it probably corresponds to what we would call nowadays climaxing. The belief was that I read somewhere also that in ancient times, they believed that a woman could not get pregnant unless she climaxed during the relations. So obviously we know that now that that's not true. But the idea was that if the woman climaxed first, then she would have a boy. And if the male climaxes first during this particular act of relations, then they would have a girl, because it's tied into the Torah says that when a woman bears seed, then it says immediately right after that, then she gives birth to a male. So it's an indication that the birth of a male is more tied into the woman's desire than the man's desire. And that's why also the Gemara says that a man should try to last as long as possible when he has relations, because... the idea is to try to get the woman to be Mazria first, and then she will. Then they'll have a boy. So it's considered to be a very good thing to take a while when you have relations. So, v'yadua ki acholi cham. So an illness that's based on heat. Mosarav me'atim v'imahir pulaso le'olam. So that's when you're ill because you're too hot. Then it's not as you're not as sick as when you're too cold. So davar muskal, yeah, that's obvious, of course. So that's why when a woman gives birth to a male, it indicates that she's been hotter throughout this entire pregnancy. She's been more excited than, so therefore, she's not going to be as sick as long. So therefore, she only has to wait 7 days before becoming tahor. So I also saw that there may be some basis for this idea in actual science, not in terms of the climax per se, but it said, I read somewhere that X chromosome sperm are more hardy, and Y chromosome sperm are better swimmers, they go fast. So if the intercourse takes place before the woman has ovulated, obviously in a short time before the woman ovulated, then the Y chromosomes sperm are more likely to just run and run and run and be all good swimmers and try to find an egg, and there'll be no egg there. But the X chromosome sperm are going to be able to hang out and survive longer, so that when the egg actually does come, so the X chromosome sperm have a better chance of actually fertilizing the egg. Whereas, so that's the idea that if the man ejaculates first, so then they're more likely to have a girl. But if the egg is already present in the fallopian tubes while the act of relations takes place, so then the Y chromosome sperm are going to overcome the X chromosome sperm because they're better and faster swimmers, so then they're more likely to have a boy. So I read that there's some, maybe this could be some indication, scientific connection to what the Gemara is talking about, but again, I don't think any of this is totally proven, but it's just an interesting thing to note. So, Veheirayon hanekeva yotore al karirus teva hanekeva uve karirus yirbu amosara. So girls are colder. So if the woman wasn't as excited during the time of conception, so lechein titzarech shvuayim lenikyon gufa. So because it's harder to recover from being too cold than being too hot, so therefore it takes longer. The woman needs 2 weeks to get to become tahor after having a girl. Okay. The Ramban talks about that in his parish on the Chumash. So when she's pregnant with a female, then it's cold and wet, and the white mucus in the womb is greater, and it's hard. And it's colder. Valkain Yalda Nikeva. So that's the reason she gives birth to a female. Lafikach Yitzricha Nikon Godol Bivdei Ribui Halachos Vadam Hamupa Shebehen Vinekri Rusan, because there's a lot of rotten blood and coldness. Biadua Ki Acholoi Makarim Tzrichim Benikyona Marichus Man Yosem Inachami Malkan. The Ramban also agrees that coldness takes a longer time to recover from than heat. Okay. So obviously this is not necessarily in line with our scientific understanding nowadays, but this is what the Chinuch has to offer us. Uvedomel is and the Ramban. Right, some people say that our first is a general concept that Tumah indicates a lack of life. Mm-hmm. So that's why a dead body is considered to be the most Tumah thing out there. So therefore, when a woman gives birth, is obviously nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly normal and healthy. And when she has her period, that's completely normal and healthy, but it indicates a loss of potential of life. So she was just carrying a child. Now she's no longer carrying a child. So she's transferring from a very life-giving state to a less actively building life state when the child leaves her body. So that's why she becomes tummy. And the reason she becomes tummy for a female longer is because that female That female child is even a greater potential of life, because that female child will eventually get pregnant herself, hopefully, and she will give life herself. So since there's more life being lost, in a sense, so that's why, or the potential for life being lost, so that's why she becomes longer for a female. But in terms of the medical, yeah. I mean, that's the, but the question, in terms of the actual Shor Sheya Mitzvah, in terms of why we have to be marchik ourselves, why we have to distance ourselves from the Nida and the Yoledes and the Zava, that's a good question also. We'll see what Rav Hirsch says. Uvedomil is a yehoinin gamkein benida v'zava. It's similar for a woman who has her period and a zava who has an abnormal bleeding. Ki anida titar l'shivas yamim. A woman who's having a regular period, at least on a deraisa level, only is tummy for 7 days. V'afilu shofas kol shiva. Uvilvad shetivzog b'shvi mi ba'od yom. Midin ha-Torah. So the deraisa law of nida is that when a woman first starts having her period, so she has to wait 7 days, and then she can go to the mikvah on the night of the 8th day. But she has to ensure that the bleeding completely stopped by the end of the seventh day. So it doesn't matter how long her period is. Maybe her period is 3 days, maybe it's 6 days, maybe it's 7 days. And even if she stops 1 minute before Shkia on the seventh day, so she can still go to the mikvah that night, but she can't go to the mikvah for fewer than 7 days. But then if she goes beyond the seven, then she could become a zava. That's the abnormal bleeding, because it's not considered normal for a woman's period to last longer than 7 days. Of the Hazad, again, that's at the Raisa level. We'll discuss when we get to the Mitzvah Nida what the Derabanan additions to that are. Behazava tzricha shiva nikiyim. So a Zava, when she sees blood for 3 days beyond the seven of the period, or any time within the 11 days beyond the seven of the regular period, lefisha ziva torel rov mosrihesha, that's too much extra blood. V'zehu, so she needs 7 days to become tahor again. She needs to wait seven, count 7 days before she goes to the mikvah. V'zehu hemshech harakas dameha yamim rabim achar ha-shiva yamim ha-nehugim barov ha-noshim. So it's too much. Normal is 7 days. More than 7 days, that's already abnormal. You have too much. That's why you need the time to chill out, the 7 days to chill out, and make sure that everything's okay before you go to the mikvah. And again, of course, the halacha nowadays is that we treat all women as if they might be a zavo, so therefore all women have to wait 7 days after the completion of their periods. So another potential reasons for the mitzvah that don't involve sickness per se is that since a woman shouldn't get too bound up in her thoughts or something like that. I don't know exactly what that means. What is our school saying? To prevent their buoyant minds from becoming overexcited. Says the footnote, women tend to have a more buoyant nature than men, and while this provides them crucial abilities needed for nurturing children, also might have been expected to lead to undesirable excitedness. To counter this possibility, God created in them a monthly period of heaviness. Right, Rosh Aveva. Yeah, so to prevent Kalas Rosh. It's a little bit interesting, okay? Okay, to make sure there's some separation between men and women some of the time. So a man should not always be running after his wife. Rather, it should be one time a month where he's like a little bit, wants to distance himself from all the bleeding. So therefore, he's not going to want to be with her. And of course, it's also creates more excitement. That Gemara tells us that Remeir quotes in the name of Remeir, that Remeir said that he thinks that the reason for the mitzvah of Nida is that it's to maintain sexual freshness and excitement in the marriage, that they have to separate for 7 days, or nowadays more than 7 days, but Remeir was talking about the Din D'Oraisa Nida, where they had to separate for 7 days a month, and that when on mikveh night, it'll be fresh like the wedding night every month, and it'll maintain a good physical relationship. It's interesting, by the way, that when that lady came to talk about Ethiopian Jewry, so she was talking about how they go to a special hut when they're having their periods. There's a hut in the center of the village, and all the women there live in the hut. So she said all the Western people who went to visit were trying to talk them out of it. No, this is so archaic. This is bad. They're being discriminated against. So the women were like, are you crazy? You know how hard we have to work all month long? We have to cook and clean and do everything? I wouldn't get rid of this break for anything. I would love the menstrual hut. So it's just different societies approach it in different ways. Of course, more primitive societies, so to speak, do generally have bigger separations between the menstruating women and the rest of the population. But that's pretty much forgotten nowadays. What? So, midine ha-mitzvah, so the halachos of the mitzvah are as follows. B'vach amru zichronim levracha, shekol ha-yoledes, ha-yoldos temeos, ve'afal pi shelo ra'udam. So this is where your question comes in, that a woman, when she gives birth, is considered to be tamei, even if she did not see any blood. And this is what's called in the Gemara, a ledisa yabeshta, a dry birth, which is pretty much unheard of, but presuming that were such a case, she would still be tamei. She after lipsichas hakever below dam, because it's impossible for the uterus to open without a discharge of blood. So that. Oh, whoops! I skipped one. Yes, I skipped. That they said in Nida, besides the great things, the important roots of this mitzvah, that they'll have a better relationship, physical relationship, and maybe even emotional relationship in the time where she's permitted. If you can get bored with something, if you do it too much, even if it's a good thing, then you can get bored, and that's not good. We will lose the freshness. They're going to start saying, this is, I believe, this has been demonstrated scientifically, that one of the most exciting things you can do for a person's physical attraction and relationships is, hopefully we're not talking about married people, is introducing a new sexual partner. that lights up the brain and makes it extremely excited, and that's one thing that you can that's considered to be very exciting to the brain. So because if you get bored with your sex life, then your eyes are gonna start wandering. So in order for that not to happen, so you want to create freshness, you want to create this electrical sparks in the brain, the same way as a new partner, hopefully with the partner that you're supposed to be with. Yeah.
I mean, my distant recollection is that following childbirth, you know, that a woman is, you know, that physically this is not, you know, appropriate time to engage in this activity altogether for 7 or 14 days or whatever it is. Is that, you know, this is a?
I think it's like 6 weeks now.
Hmm? I'll talk about that. I think. Right.
So I mean, you know, it just seems kind of inconceivable to me that this is something which had to be, you know, brought down as a mitzvah. I mean, you physically would not want to do it. It was not, you know.
But this is more than physical. It's also talking about like.
Okay. Right. I gotcha. Okay.
Right. That's an excellent question. I mean, we do. We hear about people having relations soon after birth.
Right.
In the olden days, maybe it was different. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You're right.
Stronger than we were.
Rov ha'umos she'enam gidurim b'gidreinu hachamurim. So in other nations where they don't have our set of strictures, so that happens that when a husband and wife can just be together at all times, they tend to get bored and you have more affairs and things like that. A man should not be grossed out, I guess, for lack of a better word, by having relations with a woman who's just given birth immediately. He'll think it's gross and he's not going to want to be with her anymore. Again, take your pick of all these reasons, but the mitzvah is what it is. So, midine ha-mitzvah, this is where we skipped to before, the halachos of the mitzvah, ma-shomer zichrono l'vracha, shekol ha-yodos tameos afalpi shelo ra'u dam, she'i'ef shalepsichas ha-kever below dam. So this is very interesting. The Chifra Chinuch over here ties in the mitzvah of Yoledes to the halachic concept of i'ef shalepsichas ha-kever below dam, that it's impossible for the uterus to open without a secretion of blood, which is a disagreement in the Gemara between the Tanoim as to whether it's possible for the uterus to open without blood or not, and we paskin that it is impossible for the uterus to open without blood. That's the that's the opinion of the vast majority of Rishonim, in contrast to the Rambam, who paskins like the opinion of Tanaim, that it is possible for the uterus to open without emitting blood. So the question is, why is the Chinuch telling us over here that the reason that a woman is Tamei when she gives birth is because there must have been some blood here? The Tama of Nid of Yoledes has nothing to do with blood per se. It's explicit in the sources that if a woman gives birth, everyone agrees. Even if you hold that it's possible for the uterus to open without blood, then if a woman gives birth, she still is Tamei for 7 or 14 days. So why is he tying it in over here to the concept of Efshel Psichas HaKever below dam, implying that if you held that it was possible for the uterus to open without blood, then if you had a dry birth, then she would not be Tame, which is completely against everything. So people give different explanations, but it could be that the Sefer HaChinuch is just trying to convey over here that he wants to paskin like the opinion that Efshel Psichas HaKever below dam, but of course he agrees that a woman is Tame anyway if she gives birth, if the baby's head comes out. Once the baby's most of the head comes out, even if there happens to be absolutely no presence of blood whatsoever. So this idea of Iev Shel Psichas HaKever below dam has ramifications nowadays that were not imagined in the times of the Gemara. The main way this comes up, actually, is the problem of gynecological examinations. So the question is, if the doctor sticks an instrument into the woman's cervix and would open the cervix, open the opening of the uterus. So the question is, even if no blood is observed, do we have to assume that the woman is Anida because there's some blood that came out, or do we not assume that, and how big does the instrument have to be? So first of all, this whole idea is subject to a disagreement amongst the poskim. That the majority opinion in the postgame is that there's actually no relevance to gynecological procedures whatsoever, because when you're talking about the uterus opening, it means when there's an internal pressure or cause for it to open itself, that's when the blood becomes, blood vessels or whatever, become pushed. There's pressure on it, so there might be blood coming out. But if there's an instrument coming in from the outside, or something coming in from the outside, that is completely irrelevant there. Even if it pulled open the cervix this wide, it would not cause any problem whatsoever. But nevertheless, we try to accommodate the opinion that even an instrument being pushed in from the outside would cause the woman to become anita. So how big does it have to be? So some people bring an interesting raya of how big the opening has to be in order to render the woman anita from a Mishnah in Oholos, of all places, which talks about the ritual impurity of dead bodies and how it's transferred. So there it's talking about a woman who is in one house and she's being moved into in the middle of having a miscarriage, unfortunately. So she's in the one house and she's being transferred into another house. So how, the question is, even if she only gave birth in the second house, so maybe the first house is tummy also because the miscarried fetus started to come out, which is obviously considered to be the status of a dead body, while she was still in the first house. So the question, it's called what's considered to be psichas akever over there. So it says, ad shiagilu rosh kefika, that it's like the head becomes round, like it's part of a spinning wheel, which is about a finger width big. The question is, when the head is this big, so then that means that the width of a finger is the approximate amount, according to this opinion, that is considered to be psichas akever. And if the instrument that's as wide as a finger goes into the woman's cervix, then we would consider the woman to be anida, because even if we didn't observe any blood, we would apply the principle of yefshal psichas akever below dam. So I'm told that this hardly ever comes up, because if you're going to stick an instrument that wide, an instrument as wide as would cause a problem over here into a woman's cervix, she would basically need to be under anesthesia. Not that she needs to be, but that would be the general procedure if they would be sticking an instrument that wide into the cervix. Other poskim point out that that might not have any relevance to the halacha of psichas akever per se. That's just talking about when we have to be concerned that the head might be coming out, and the house is tummy, but it could be that you have the problem of psichas akever, of the uterine opening, even if for a smaller amount, as even it opens a tiny bit. That's what the Ravid says in his Sefer on Hilchos Nida, the Bali HaNefesh, which is one of the earliest comprehensive works on Hilchos Nida. But the post can point out that since the idea of the instrument going in, or something going in, it could be a finger, it could be anything, going in is not necessarily true, that it could be it's only when something is coming out, then certainly you don't have to be stringent if an instrument that's less than a pika, the Agila Rosh Kavika, this instrument of the spinning wheel, goes into the uterus, which again hardly ever comes up in regular routine gynecological examinations. But again, if a woman is having anything put into her cervix, it's probably wise to ask a shayla, an IUD or something like that. There are different things. It's probably wise to ask a shayla as to whether the woman becomes a nida or not. But the question is, if something comes out of the uterus, that is, let's say some people are makel even on that size, again, coming out of the uterus, but other people are machmir on something even smaller, because there you have this opinion again of the Ravid, that this idea of the finger width or the pika, lo yagilu rosh kepika, is only has no relevance whatsoever to Hilchos Nida. It only has relevance to Hilchos Olos, of the dead body rendering a house tummy. So therefore, you should be stringent if there's any opening of the uterus that lets something out. Right, so, but that would not apply to, for example, if there's like, I was talking about halakhic literature, if there's tiny pieces of non-blood things that come out of the uterus. Cyrus, if there's a woman has an early miscarriage or something like that, and there's little non-blood things that look like little hairs that come out, then that would be not a problem of psichas akever. If it could be determined the fact that these things did not contain blood, then the woman would not be tummy. So v'echad hayoledes chai omeis vafilu nefel. So whether the child is alive or stillborn, and even if it's miscarried, then she has a tuma of yoledes. V'hu shetigomer tzuraso tumea tumas lida nida. It has to look like a person. It has to look a little human-like in order for her to. So we were machmir, as the Sefer Chinuch is going to suggest, and he's going to talk about this concept in a second, that we're not, we call a lot of Rishonim right, that we're not bucky, we're not expert about the different tsuros, the different ways a miscarried fetus could look. So therefore, any fetus that's halachically significant, as we're going to see in a second, is after 40 days gestation, has the might be considered to be a fetus, and therefore we would have to be machmer. Whereas a Medina de Gemara, according to the Talmud, for the strict Talmudic law, if it does not have any human features in it, we would not be tamei tumas leida. Avafilu hipila shilya oshfir mole mayim odam harezo chosheshes leleida. So let's say she just has a placenta. She just emits the placenta or the amniotic sac, which is full of amniotic fluid or blood. Harezo chosheshes leleida. So this is even though she doesn't see any fetus per se, so she would be concerned that she is considered to be given birth. The kaimalan ain shilya below vlad. There's no placenta unless there's a fetus present. The afal pi shein motzin achshav havlad b'shilya. You don't find any fetus there. Choshoshin shema nimok b'socho. Maybe it disintegrated. B'teisha misafek yimei tumah shel nekeva shehim shivuayim. B'mei tohar shel zachar shehim lama gimel yom v'lo yoser. The misafek azlinan hacha v'hacha lahachmir. So, if, in other words, we have a stringency by a female because you have to wait 2 weeks instead of 7 days. So she has to be concerned that perhaps there was a female fetus over here, so she's tummy for 2 weeks instead of 1 week, because you obviously at that point you can't tell whether the fetus is male or female. So she's tummy for 2 weeks, but since it might have been a male, so she has less time afterwards. We're going to see in a second that there's a concept, at least on the Oraisa level, of what we call dam tohar, of pure blood. So once a woman completes her 7 or 14 days, so she has a period of, even if she sees blood, that blood is considered tohar, she's allowed to have relations with her husband. So for a male child, it's up to 40 days, and for a female child, it's up to 80 days, including the days where she was tummy. So therefore, she has the tummy days of the female, but then after that, she only has 33 days of the male, because maybe it was a male and maybe it was a female, so you have to go stringently in both directions. You give her more tummy days and fewer tahor days. Yeah?
So if, like, with medical technology, you were tested really early and you knew what you were having, even if you couldn't see the gender, do we rely on that?
Yeah, sure. Assuming the doctor has nemonos. If the doctor is not Jewish, then maybe you need two different doctors to tell you. But if the doctor is an observant Jew and he does good lab work, and he's sure that it's
Well, your doctor is not usually Jewish.
No. You could have two different lab technicians. If you have, again, you have to ask a shayla. If this were actually, Chas v'Shalom relevant, then you would have to ask the shayla. But if you knew for sure very early on what you were having, then you wouldn't have to go lechomer. Yeah.
This comes up actually with the wife of a Kohen. It has a baby.